They seized Jesus and led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. A servant girl recognized him and said, "This man was with him." But Peter denied it. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, yet another person exclaimed, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." And again Peter replied, "I do not know what you are talking about." Just as he uttered those words, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered what the Lord had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Peter's betrayal of Christ is an important part of the Lord's Passion and was remembered by the earliest Christians in Jerusalem. Today, the Church of St. Peter of Gallicantu, Latin for the place where the cock crowed, stands on the slopes of Jerusalem's Mount Zion, on the site where Jesus was believed to have been imprisoned by the high priest Caiaphas. Though the actual church dates from 1931, built by the Assumptionist Fathers, it was constructed over the ruins of a 5th-century shrine and rises above a series of crypts and chambers carved out of rock in the very first few decades after Christ's crucifixion. But where else can we find accounts of Peter's denial of Christ? Christian art historian Elizabeth Lev told me the story is depicted even here in Rome, even in the Vatican.
Well, if ever there was a story that found its way to Rome and found a home here, it would be the story of the denial of Peter, because, of course, Peter ends up here, and he is, of course, the head of the church. And so it's kind of a funny little start, you know, this guy who denies Jesus three times, and then at the end, you know, he's our first pope. He's the one who's, you know, will be the one that the rock is built upon. So, you know, from this very inauspicious moment, he did become the rock that is still the support and the foundation of St. Peter's today. And one of the things, I mean, right off the bat, St. Peter's as a church has never dodged that bullet, if you will. It's never denied the mistakes of Peter and Peter's trust, however, in Jesus and God to forgive him, to put him back on the right track. And in the first church of St. Peter's, the one that was built by Constantine, the one that was, you know, until 1506, the magnificent church. One of the very famous objects in that church was a little bronze effigy of a rooster. And there was it was a little, you can still see it today in the Treasury Museum of St. Peter's. It's a little bronze rooster, which apparently was out there in one of the inner atriums. And according to sort of the medieval tour guides, who were very good at coming up with great stories, it contained the remains of the actual cock that crowed that morning, which is one of those relics you might want to take with a grain of salt. But the fact of the matter is, the fact of the matter is that it did kind of tell you before you even walked into St. Peter's, it reminded you that he started from, you know, what we would all consider a pretty serious sin, and yet, you know, pulled himself together and it became the rock underneath St. Peter's. So it's a wonderful story about how we can all follow suit, pick ourselves up. And some of the most beautiful paintings in this city and around the world, really, are the images of Peter after he's denied Christ. This is very popular in Spanish painting, particularly, where they have the moment of Peter. They represent Peter alone in tears, crying, and yet this usually a light is coming in, comforting him, showing him that, you know, don't give up. Don't make the mistake that Judas made of not realizing that you can be forgiven. So it's a very, very important part. And inside the church, in the decoration that was done from 1600 on, inside St. Peter's, when people walk in, you know, you look above the big arches and the little figures of the virtues, and people see lining all the way around the inside of the nave of St. Peter's these big black letters. They're 6 foot tall black letters on a golden ground. Everybody always wants them written in Latin, except for one little section written in Greek. What does that say? And I always think of it as Peter's job description, because it's everything that Jesus said to Peter. But particularly important is the three times it's repeated in those letters, the three times that Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" For the three times he denied, so you start out with the rooster and the reminder of the three-time denial. You walk into the church and the nave is decorated with the three-time response, "Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you." So it's a very nice counterbalance.
But the rooster also appears in other artwork, I think. I'm thinking of the Palazzo Colonna right off Piazza Venezia in the center of town. I remember going in there recently and seeing someone I was with pointed out, why is there a rooster in this painting on this fresco on the wall? But it didn't seem to be a particularly religious theme, if I recall correctly. But it does transcend this idea of just simply religious scenes. It also is used, the rooster, to bring us back to the theme of denials
and betrayal. Exactly. The rooster theme has, it's one of those that has that okay from the earliest Christian representations. There are marble sarcophagi, numerous marble sarcophagi from the 4th century, which have the representation of Peter always has his little rooster carved into the sarcophagus. So it's not an unusual thing. It's very, very common in popular imagery, that constant reminder of the Peter's error. What's interesting is the way that it's really brought out in Rome so much, in a city where, you know, they've lived with the papacy for 2,000 years. And you know, those of us who live here know that the Romans have had sort of good moments and bad moments living with their papacy. And so that sort of constant representation of the rooster is again that kind of reminder of the Romans who are there's a certain little contingent of Romans who have always been very quick to criticize the papacy. As a matter of fact, the Palazzo Colonna that you're talking about is right near the Campidoglio, which is the ancient center of Republican Rome. And throughout the Middle Ages, when the Pope traveled in the papal procession from Rome to St. John Lateran, when he had to pass around the Campidoglio, that's where all the Roman Republicans were. That's where all the people who wanted Rome to be a free republic would be. And they would throw stones. It was like a gauntlet the Pope had to pass through of these people who were very anti-papal. So, you know, it's that you know, a rooster's going to show up in the art here is not at all surprising.
Hang on, was there a story once that the cannonball, I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous.
No, this is cannonball. There's a famous, famous story about Queen Christine of Sweden, our most famous convert of the 17th century. She's also our most colorful convert of the 17th century, since she arrived in Rome in 1655 dressed as an Amazon, which I think took Alexander VII somewhat by surprise. And she was apparently in the Castel Sant'Angelo and persuaded some very ill-advised custodian of the papal fort, which is Castel Sant'Angelo, which used to have cannonballs and cannons at the ready, to let her fire a cannonball, which I thought, perhaps they thought, was just going to go into the river, but it actually ended up in the staircase of the Colonna Palace. And the
to this day, you can actually see the dent.
The Colonna's with a magnificent sense of humor have left it there to this. They left the cannonball in the stair to this day.
Just getting back quickly to the icon of the rooster. I mean, it has even come down to this very day where you see the black Il Gallo Nero on the dock Italian wines, the quality Italian wines. Don't you see that?
Oh, that's right. Yes, of course. I wonder, does that mean we're supposed to worry about the high quality Italian wines?
Are we being betrayed?
Are we being betrayed?
Well, we'll have to look into the real story behind the Black Rooster on Italy's quality wine bottles, but that's another program. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Elizabeth Lev, Professor of Christian Art and Architecture at Duquesne University's Rome campus. For now, I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for listening.